Blog Talk Radio.
It's 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's time now for Namaste Nutrition with Claudia Cleary. Be happy, be healthy, be complete in body, mind, spirit. Claudia's advice is always uplifting and inspirational. Get joyfully motivated every week with Namaste Nutrition. And now, here's Claudia. Cultivate your spirituality with visionary practices of a higher nature, in your own home and at your own pace. Empower You Metaphysical Academy. Usui Reiki, Amadeus Shamanic Healing, Karuna Reiki, Celtic Reiki, and many more energy attunements and modalities available. Learn in the privacy of your own home. Attunements and energy activations offered via telephone with downloadable certifications. Very affordable. We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, a comprehensive guide of rocks, crystals, and stones for the new age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com. It's 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's time now for Namaste Nutrition with Claudia Cleary. Be happy, be healthy, be complete in body, mind, spirit. Claudia's advice is always uplifting and inspirational. Get joyfully motivated every week with Namaste Nutrition. And now, here's Claudia.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Claudia Cleary and Namaste Nutrition, and I would like to welcome all of my listening audience to my program today. It is Wednesday. What is today's date? The 30th of January. We have some specials that I wanted to tell you about. A lot of times people are really shy about calling in and asking me questions about nutrition, but I would like to encourage anybody who has some questions about nutrition to contact me either through email or through calling into the show. And I would be happy to answer whatever questions that you have, especially when it relates to weight and your health. So just to let you know, here's an added incentive, $75,000 in cash prizes. And no, it's not coming directly from me. It is coming from an outside source. It's called Find Your Fit Spring Challenge. And if you are interested in learning some more information about this, send me an email at claudia.cleary@yahoo.com. That's claudia.cleary@yahoo.com. You can lose a significant amount of weight as pure body fat within 12 weeks and make a dramatic difference in the course of your life. And if it's any consolation for people who are out there, I am planning on doing it too once I end up getting a decent-sized group together. So if you are thinking that it's kind of later into the year and you're still thinking about that New Year's resolution to lose weight, this is your wake-up call, and especially since, you know, you could lose money, or you could lose weight and win some money on top of it, so that might be a real incentive for you. Anyway, but that is something that I'd like you to consider. You can check out my website and get some more information there as well. It is www.shop.com/Claudia Cleary, that's CLAUDIA.com, or Claudia Cleary, CLEARY.com. Anyway, moving right along, I would like to let you know that I do have a guest with me today. Her name is Allison Hayes, and she is the Rock Girl, officially known as therockgirl.com on the internet. Allison, I'd like to welcome you to the program.
Why, thank you. I am so excited to be here.
Well, I am so excited to have you here. I have your website pulled up, and wow, you're very, very pretty.
Oh, thank you. I try. I have my good days and my bad days.
Well, you know, we all have good and bad hair days. You know, I think the rest of us sort of changes a little bit without notice. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, indeed. It's pouring rain here in Asheville, North Carolina, so I guess it's a bad hair day. So.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. You know, It's funny. We get humidity here. My hair tends to look better when it's humid out. I don't know why, but that seems to be the case. Rain, I think it sort of decimates everybody's hair. But, yeah, I'd like you to start by just telling my listening people who you are, a little bit about what you do, and, you know, a little bit, we'll start with a little bit about your history, you know, a little bit about how old you were when you first started doing readings for people, because I know that you do something a little bit differently than most people typically, that people typically do when they go to an intuitive.
Okay, yeah, story of my life, doing things differently.
I can understand that.
Yeah, it's taken 40-some years to finally get that right. Okay, well, my name is Allison Hayes, and my friends call me the Rock Girl. I'll tell you that story in a second. That's how I became the Rock Girl. And my website, as you mentioned before, is therockgirl.com. And that's the psychic and services page and, you know, lots of fun things on that website. I also have another website called sacredstoneschool.com, sacredstoneschool.com. And that is my school where I offer all sorts of classes and workshops and seminars. And so what I am really is a psychic and a healer who utilizes the sacred energy of stones to balance the chakras and auric field. And in doing so, I can give quite detailed and accurate psychic readings, because if your auric field and your chakra systems are aligned, you get a nice, clear, and direct connection to spirit as far as getting the messages on a psychic and mediumship level. I even do past lives that way. And I also bring that into the healing modalities. In my school, I have the Rock Girl Sacred Stone Master Stone Program, where it's a 3.5-year series of classes all about stones. I also have very in-depth Reiki program. I have traditional Reiki, rocks and Reiki, and then sacred energy, and each of those have three levels. And then I also have a psychic development program, where I have psychic development, there's three levels, and I have mediumship, three levels, and I have past lives, three levels. And what I do is I incorporate the use of some stones throughout the psychic, mediumship, and past life programs to kind of accelerate and kind of identify a lot of, you know, psychic messages. So people can actually learn faster through that by using the energy of stones to connect them to spirit. And then what I'm actually launching this year is a whole nother program called Planetary Gridding, and it really teaches people how to work with all of this new energies of 2013 and beyond and grid their home and grid their space and help bring balance to the Earth in general and help fortify the Earth's auric field and help in planetary healing. And so that's the overall of who I am and what I do. And I also should mention that I have a studio in New York City called The Rock Room NYC. I actually just returned there from there yesterday. I was there for 2 weeks teaching classes and workshops. And I also have the Rock Room South in Asheville, North Carolina, where I do the same. And I have a 3,000-square-foot warehouse where I specialize in selling stones to private buyers and so on and so forth. So that,
okay, do you ever sleep?
Actually, that's a great question. Do I ever have a day off? No, but I do sleep. I get a good 7 to 8 hours of sleep at night.
I was actually saying that tongue-in-cheek because the amount of things that you do is unbelievably huge. You just, it sounds like you have, you know, out of 24 hours in the course of the day, and that's quite remarkable.
Oh, why, thank you. Yeah, you know, it's funny because I do make sure I get my sleep, but I don't really have a day off. only because I love what I do, and it's really part of my entire being. You know, and then to get to the history, I am proud to say that I am 46 years young. I've only been on this planet for 46 years. Well, no, in this body, I should say, in this body. And when I was younger, about 2 or 3, I have a younger sister and brother. They're about my sister's 2 years younger than me, and my brother's 2 years younger than me, and I am the oldest. And when I was about between the ages of 2 and 4, I really can remember having conversations in my head that I would still have today as an adult, but not being able to enunciate it. And I would say, where am I? Why am I in this body? You know, and I was really kind of an adult in this baby body. And I remember looking at my hands and saying, who is this? And I really feel that I was kind of like dumped into this lifetime right after my last lifetime. There was really no transition. And so I was a very kind of frustrated little being because I wanted to say all this stuff, and probably why I talk so fast now. And I just couldn't enunciate it because my body couldn't keep up with it. And I had this sense of knowing, which now I call, you know, as an adult and a practicing psychic and teacher, know it's called clairrecognizance. And I just knew things. I knew when my sister was going to be born, my brother, I knew all this stuff. And then when I started to be able to speak, I would actually kind of say, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And, you know, my mother included, a lot of people thought I was a bit crazy because I would say things like, so-and-so's mom's going to have a baby in May and her name is going to be blah blah, and she'll have blue eyes. And they just thought I was crazy. And so the psychic stuff happened really quickly as a child, and I learned to keep my mouth shut very early on because it would get me in trouble. I remember in sixth grade sitting next to a boy and saying that his mom was going to have a baby, but the dad was not the father, it was the uncle. And I got sent home from school. Yeah, I got sent home from school for 3 days.
Oh, no.
And sure enough,
yeah,
the mom had a baby with the uncle.
Yeah, I think that in sixth grade when you're an intuitive, learning when to speak and when not to is kind of a critical component.
Little did
it.
I know I was a runaway psychic then, and I didn't know how to edit it. And I paid the price. And actually now I teach psychic ethics and so on and so forth, and that's the first thing you don't do is spout it off. But it was not a good thing. I grew up on a farm in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and I was always connected to nature, and I had, you know, my imaginary friends were stones and fairies and trees.
Allison, where in Bucks County did you grow up?
New Hope, Pennsylvania.
You're kidding me. I went to the Solbury School outside of New Hope, the private one.
Oh, my gosh. I went to Buckingham Friends.
You're kidding me. Oh, my goodness. It's such a small world.
Yeah. I don't know how old you are, but I'm 46. And
you and I are the same exact age. We're the same exact age. That's too weird.
That is. Oh, my God. I really wanted to be cool and go to the Solbury School, but my parents sent me to Hun School instead in Princeton. I'm sure you heard of that, right?
Which school was it?
Hun, H-U-N, Hun School, the Hun School in Princeton.
I have heard of the Hun School. I think Solbury played against them in soccer.
They
was
did.
The
and all
sport.
The really
yeah,
groovy.
The
yeah, the funny, like the really cool, groovy people went to Solbury. And now I'm in Asheville, and all those people must have transferred down here. but yeah, I grew up on a 155-acre farm in New Hope, Pennsylvania, behind Bowman's Tower, right off of River Road.
Oh, my gosh.
I used to ride my horses. I grew up on a horse farm, all through those trails and everything. And, you know,
yeah,
Buckingham
you and
Friends.
I could have switched. We could have interchanged our lives, and we would have had a very, very good time because I loved horses. I was a horse-crazy girl, too.
Wow. Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up, I went to high school there in Bucks County for 2 years, but I grew up in and around Philadelphia.
Oh, well, I lived in Philadelphia from 1987 to 1993, Center
mm-hmm.
City, 1326 Spruce Street, and I went to Temple University.
I went to Temple also.
Oh, this is creepy.
This is really a trip.
Yeah. Yeah, I went.
I started at Temple in 88 and I graduated in 92. I
so
went
did
to
I.
school a little later. Oh,
me
kidding.
Too.
I had to take a, oh God, you're kidding. That is so
no,
weird.
I graduated
what
in
did you get your degree
yeah.
in?
Mm-hmm.
What did you get your degree in?
Mm-hmm. Isn't that wild? Yes. Where did you live in Philly?
Yeah, I lived in, let's see, Ambler when I was at Temple, and then I moved to Jenkintown, and I took the train into the city every day to go to school there. What did you get your degree in from Temple?
I graduated cum laude. I'm very proud. I had a double major in radio, television, film, and journalism.
Now, that's so funny because you and I probably know the same people. A good friend of mine is somebody graduated right around the same time, named Tom Tuohy. Did you know him? He was RFT as well. And
I know the name. I know the name. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so funny. He and I have the same exact birthday. We're exactly 3 years apart. So we always see who can end up racing on Facebook to say happy birthday first to the other person.
When is your birthday?
The 23rd of December.
Oh, my goodness. How great is that? Yeah, I'm right. I'm totally opposite. I'm June 5th. So I'm right across the wheel from you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, this is too weird.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, so anyhow, tell me some more about, like, you know, the horses and everything like that. This is just too strange. The serendipity is a trip.
Yeah, well, we used to, we started out, my father was a doctor in Bucks County, and he has since passed, but he would end up just picking up animals off the side of the road that needed help and coming home and taking care of them, and we ended up with this kind of petting zoo farm, and then I don't know how it was, but I ended up really getting into horses and riding, and we started breeding Welsh thoroughbreds and Arabians, and then thoroughbred Arabians, and I would ride and take them to Devon Horse Show every year and do the circuit up until I was about 16.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice. That's wonderful.
And I really believe that working with the horses and nature and everything really helped me become fine-tune my sensitivities. And then when I went to Buckingham Friends, 5th, 6th, and 7th grade, and they were really – the Friends school kind of let you – they had a great kind of loosey-goosey attitude, go out, commune with the nature, come back and write about it. And that's when I really started going out into nature, and I started connecting and writing about what the stones would have to say, you see?
That's
and so I would somehow – that's when I had to, quote-unquote, put a lid on the psychic stuff, but then I would channel it through the stones. And in seventh grade, you know how we got those little box of specimen rocks? Remember those?
Right.
In science? Well, mine kept coming loose from the glue, and at recess, I would go out there, and I would ask people to choose the stones, and I would tell them the story that the stones had to tell about them that day, and I would say, so what do you want to know? And they would pick the stone, and I would say, well, you're going to get an A on your test, or, you know, this stone here says that you are going to try out for the field hockey team, and you're not going to make halfback, but you'll be left inner, you see? So
oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, the rock reading started, you know, way back then, and I started getting the name the Rock Girl, okay?
Mm-hmm.
People would call me the Rock Girl. And then I went to Hun School, and I had to put the rocks away because people thought I was weird. And then when I went to Temple University, I pulled them out again, and I needed guidance in my life, so I started asking the stones and doing my own readings. And in Philly, down on South Street, I don't know if you remember it, there was a bookstore down there. You remember that bookstore?
Yeah, I remember South Street. Nice and eclectic, a really cool eclectic area. I don't remember too much about the stores that were down there, just that it was a really cool, funky, eclectic area. Just about anything pretty much went down there. It was a really
exactly.
Place.
And they had this great bookstore. And in the bottom, they taught yoga. And in the attic, they had all the crystals. And so I actually worked my way through Temple University as a waitress. And that's why it took me almost 5 years to graduate because I went part-time and I paid for the rest. I worked at the Rittenhouse Hotel and Condominium as a waitress. And so, you know, on my days off, I would go down there and I started taking Reiki. And so I started taking Reiki, and I was bored, and I started reading all these books and taking these self-help. Remember, Marianne Williamson was coming out then, Shakti Gawain, and I would go to all their seminars when they would come to Philadelphia. And then I ended up finding my stone teacher, who I studied with for 17 years, and he passed away in 2011. May he rest in peace. Well, actually, I know he's up there raising hell, but I studied with him since the early 90s. And I got into Reiki, and I ended up taking Reiki through Reiki 1 and Master 17 times over the last 20 years because I liked it so much. And so I ended up working for a film company in New York City called Ridley Scott and Associates. And I was able to travel and go to Los Angeles. And they also had a company, the home base, it's a British-owned company, was in London. And so when I would go there, I would study Reiki over there and stones over there. And so I ended up going through many, many years of certification because it was personal growth and spiritual transformation. And then when I finally came back to the States, oh gosh, in the early 2000s, that's when I, you know, started doing this professionally. And I did go on to get married and like do all that, but I was so into the stones and so into, you know, all the stuff that my husband at the time just couldn't deal with it and wanted a normal life, so he left. He moved on for other things. At which point I just threw myself into the rock girl, and I was doing readings, and I was doing healings, and I was teaching about stones, and I was looking for a name, and I was just playing on GoDaddy when GoDaddy first came out. Remember that? GoDaddy.com?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
You know, like I was like, oh, what is this stupid name? And I found a domain name, The Rock Girl, and I said, you know, I was thinking of Stone Diva and all this stuff, and I said, let me just keep it simple. Everybody's always called me The Rock Girl, and I got therockgirl.com, and the rest is history. So
well, it sounds like, you know, you've had a very, very interesting childhood moving forward. You know, I wouldn't be surprised at all if there was a time when, you know, you might have popped over to Solbury while there was a sporting event going on, and you and I might have crossed paths when we were both teenagers. There's
yes,
no question.
Well, it's so funny because I played field hockey, and I did play against Solbury. So
yeah, and I'm not surprised. I'm really not surprised. I was just never into the team sports. I was more into the horseback riding. And at Solbury, you could end up taking a gym credit if you took horseback riding. So that was where I always gravitated towards. It's like team sports, no thank you. Horseback riding, yeah, let's do it. So,
yeah.
You know, it's just really, really cool. But, I mean, it sounds like you've done some really, really interesting things. And, you know, you put yourself through school by doing something that I think a lot of people have had to do, which is, you know, wait tables and, you know, pay your dues, that sort of a thing. You've lived a really interesting life. How has your business evolved and grown? Because, you know, you've been back in the U.S. You've been back pretty much to where you are since the early 2000s, and you know, you've pretty much exploded onto the scene, and you're really popular, especially with celebrities. So how did that materialize?
Let's see. Where are we in? 2013? It would have 2003 was a huge year for me. I've always done this on and off, and people would call me up, even in high school, college, old high school friends I've never heard from in years. Hey, do you still have those rocks? Can you tell me, you know, should I take this job? Should I marry this guy kind of thing? And I would just do it. And actually, here's a good story for you. The first professional rock reading I did was years and years and years ago in the early 2000s. I would do readings for charity. I'm a huge animal rescue advocate, and I have a lot of animals myself. I won't tell you how many on air, but I can't take on anymore because my house is full. But I raise money for their causes. And back in the early 2000s, on Halloween of all days, I was helping put together a fundraiser called the Witch's Ball for Halloween. And I was a coordinator because that's what I did. I was a producer in the film world. And so I was coordinating the event, and the tarot card lady called out sick, and people were freaking out. What are they going to do? Can you read tarot? And I said, no, I can't, but I can read rocks. I went home, grabbed every rock that I could put in a bag, came back, and I was reading rocks. And by the third reading, I was writing my name and phone number on napkins, cocktail napkins, and people started booking appointments with me. And that was back in 2003. And so people just wanted to start making appointments because we could only see so many that night. And then what I went on to do is I went on and took all of the money because I was married to a very, you know, kind of wealthy husband at the time, and I donated everything to charity. And everything I do today, there is still a lot of the proceeds go to animal rescue charities. And also the elderly. I'm really getting into my – I lost my grandmother in 1997, and she basically raised me. And there's a huge need for respecting the elders out there, you know, because we're the only country that I know that throws them away, discards them. And so I do a lot of Reiki for the elderly, and I just rescued another dog, and I'm going to have him trained as a therapy dog. And so I do a lot of I'm planning on doing a lot of awareness and charity for the elderly as well as the animals. And with that said, that's really how the rock readings came on scene. And everybody was laughing at me, all of my friends and everything. Oh, you're kidding me. And I eventually went on. I had been practicing Reiki, you know, practicing it, and I'd been teaching classes because people are like, well, how do you do this and how do you do that and how do you know this and how do you know that? So I started teaching classes, and then one day I decided to quit my real job and do this professionally. And it did take some time, but I actually joined two really good directories, Shea Parker's Best American Psychics and Shea Parker's Best American Healers. And through that gave me credibility and exposure. And through that, people have just found me, which is really fun and really exciting. And so what I did was I started doing rock readings, and I started teaching classes. And, you know, I do a lot of the healings, but I kind of refer them to my students now because mostly I do teaching and I do the readings. And it just kind of took on a life of its own. And I, you know, the universe provides you with opportunities, but it's up to us to take them. And so I've been making sure I've been taking them and you know, being very, very grateful for that. And, you know, it's interesting. This last year is huge because I actually had to hire a staff to help me, help support my business. That's how great it's been. And then as far as the celebrities go, I was fortunate enough to get a space in New York City for the Rock Room. And just by word of mouth, you know, one celebrity walked in and said they wanted a reading, and then one celebrity tells another celebrity, tells another celebrity. And the ones that allow me to say that I've read for them, some of them are on the front of my website, but a lot of them I have to sign non-disclosures because they don't want people knowing their business. So,
well, of course not.
Yeah. So it's
the tabloids are notorious at exploiting whatever they can in order to make a buck, and I mean, that's their job. But at the same time, I totally understand why, you know, If they are willing to say, yeah, you know, you can tell people you read for me, that's kind of cool. You know, it's not like you're going to give them information. I mean, it goes right back to the ethics thing, you know. You know, with HIPAA violations, you know, you can't talk about anything that you, if you're working in a physician's type of a practice. And, I mean, I'm a coach for wellness. And so up where I coach, I can talk and mention an occasional first name or just give some peripheral information. But the details of these people's lives can't go outside that office. Same thing with you.
Oh, goodness, yes. I mean, I call it the universal law of the light workers, is that you do that, your gifts are taken away. And on my website, I mean, I hired a professional to do my website. I have an attorney review everything. I have disclaimers out the wazoo. I have a whole page of legal stuff, because if you go out in the public, you deal with celebrities, you deal with the masses, and you're on the Internet, you have to cover your butt. And so, you know, that was probably the most expensive page on my website because it all has been reviewed by an attorney that I do have on retainer, you know, just to make sure everything is above board and I pay my taxes and, you know, everything. You know, my rule of thumb in getting into the world of the metaphysics and, you know, on a professional level is if you want to have a flourishing business, you have to treat it like a flourishing business. And so, you know, I have a tax ID number, the Rock Girl I trademarked years ago when people were laughing at me. You know, I have an accountant, I have a bookkeeper, I have an attorney. And so, you know, all of these things, since I've been divorced, I'm not married to a wealthy man anymore, but I've worked. You know, I have dog walked, I have waitressed again, you know, I've done everything. And in building the business, and I funneled it all back into that. But if you want a flourishing business, if you want a real live business, you have to treat it like a real live business. And so that's what I've done, and it's worked out. And you know, I do work 7 days a week, but I do enjoy it. Now, as far as celebrities go, I can tell you that on February 16th of this year, I have a two-minute spot on the Cyndi Lauper. She's So Unusual show on the WE Network. We shot for 4 hours, and it was supposed to be an hour. Each show of hers was supposed to be an hour, but they cut it down to a half an hour. So a lot of people got cut out, and I was lucky. I got the 2 minutes. I have my 2 minutes on WE Television. And it shows
so
the rock girl. Yeah, it shows
The
rock girl doing a reading for Cyndi Lauper in the Rock Room, New York City. So
there you go.
Yeah, and all it takes is, you know, Michelle White Dove, she's on Best American Psychics as well, and I saw her at a few expos, and she's like, honey, you're only as good as your last reading, and that's true. So, you know, luckily we had a good reading with Cyndi Lauper, and again, by the magic of word of mouth and positive energy, I have been able to have the honor, I should say, an opportunity to read for other celebrities as well as other magical, wonderful, everyday people. And every single reading I do is rewarding in one way, shape, or form.
Of course, of course. So I was going to ask you two questions. What do you do to keep yourself balanced and grounded? And then the other question that I was going to ask you is, what messages do you have for people who are interested in developing their own intuitive gifts to become professional in the same area and arena that you're in?
Ah, okay. The first one about being balanced is I have a really good home life. Now, it's interesting because I am Allison Hayes, the person, and I'm also the rock girl. And the last 5 years have been amazing and exhilarating for me, but they've also been extremely painful. I've lost a lot of loved ones, including my stone teacher in 2011. I also went through a pretty ugly divorce. And I found my solace in my healing in my work. And when it's time, no matter how bad a day I was having on a personal level, I would switch into, like, the rock girl psychic person, the rock girl healer or teacher, and connecting with spirit and running the psychic energy and running the healing energy and the teaching energy. That was extremely cleansing. And so I make sure to do that every day, you know, through running the energy. But I do something, you know, I have a radio show called The Rock Girl Sacred Stone Show on Blog Talk Radio, and it's a half-an-hour show about stones. And one of the first shows is called How to Cleanse Yourself and Your Stones. And I do something called the Rock Girl 1-2-3 Punch. It's white sage, selenite, and sound, which is the tincture bells. And it's clearing your auric field and aligning your chakras, and I do that every day. So that has really helped. And sometimes I've done it a couple times, you know, like several times a day. Another one is I try and eat right. I can't say I do it all the time. But as my career has evolved, it's amazing the stuff that I can't eat anymore. Like when I teach Reiki, I need to eat spinach. When I teach rocks, I need to eat beets. My body is craving more and more greens. I am not a vegan or a vegetarian, although I would like to be, but my body just kind of goes into instant anemia. But I do like to eat, you know. Yeah, I mean, I'm down here in Asheville, and all sorts of environmentally friendly, organic, and, you know, animal-friendly kind of food is down here. It's a brilliant place to live. I love it. And I do travel back and forth to New York City all the time. And, of course, there's all sorts of organic things available up there. I don't eat a lot, but I make sure I eat right. And that has really helped. And I know it sounds hokey, and it's not a diet. It's just I like to eat greens and connect to Mother Earth.
You eat healthy.
Yeah.
You eat healthy, and that's good because I think more people need to recognize this. One of the biggest challenges that I have been told is that within the intuitive community, and I'm not, you know, I'm not limiting anybody out of this. It's just anybody who is focusing on the intuition part of their life, and that's their focus for their livelihood, or even for a pastime, many times they do have some challenges with maintaining that balance and being able to stay grounded. And so learning to eat right is so critically important because if you neglect your body, you can't be the most effective intuitive, whether it's being a psychic, a medium, being the rock girl, or being anybody else, unless you're grounded and you're feeding yourself and fueling yourself with healthy foods. And I don't consider what you're doing hokey at all. I'm the first one who will say totally that, you know, chocolate should be a food group. So
And you know what's interesting? I learned a lot by doing Reiki, because Reiki, you have to be a channel for energy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what I do when I switch into psychic mode, instead of channeling the healing energy, I channel a different frequency, which is the psychic stuff. And in order to keep your physical body, you know, capable of channeling that energy, you have to put the right gas or fuel. You know, you can't put unleaded, you can't put leaded fuel in your car that needs unleaded. And so, you know, it's interesting. Like I used to love my glass of red wine before, or my chocolate milkshake every now and then, and I can't even eat that because I get stuck. And so I do eat right. And then what's super important to me is exercise. And I know this sounds like a stupid commercial, but this is true.
No, it's not a stupid commercial at all. You know, I mean, you're talking to the, I'm a yoga teacher. So, you know, yeah, exercise is critically important. What kind of exercises do you
I
do?
I like to ride my bike 9 miles a day. I love the number nine. Yeah. And, I ride it outside. I'm not one of these people who go to the gym. And Asheville is amazing because they have beautiful parks. And then when I lived in New York, I would go up and down. I still do. I have a bike up there as well, up and down the river. And the cycling motion, and I'm actually going to be doing a radio show in a couple of weeks called Meditation and Mother Earth. And the you know, people can still build their minds and meditate, and that's certainly a great way to do it. But for me, activity like walking or biking and developing that rhythm is a form of meditation for me. And I've written my entire website and all of my courses and curriculum by riding my bike, thinking about it, going home and writing it down. And so, you know, connecting to spirit, eating right, and then the exercise is critical. And last but not least is the sleep. And I do. I get a good solid 7 to 8 hours a night sleep. And then, boom, every minute of my day is filled with something fun. And that's part of my message to people, is that the spirituality can be fun. It's not about denial. It's about fulfilling your individual needs. And just like eating right and, you know, everybody is unique. And that's what I've discovered, and I try to, you know, kind of communicate to people. You know, what I eat may not be good for that person. You have to pay enough attention to yourself to figure out what feels good and what isn't. And I also have another rule I live by. If it doesn't feel good, then it's not good. You know?
Amen.
You know? Exactly. If it doesn't feel good, then it's not good. And so for people,
well,
you know, I have a friend who wants to bike, but it's not her thing, and she's better at walking kind of thing. So find your niche and go with it.
Well, it's one of the things that I've been telling people for years. I've been a vegetarian since 1990, and the reasons why I chose to become a vegetarian were very personal ones. Do I advocate vegetarian eating for everybody? No. Do I advocate vegan eating for everybody? Absolutely not. It's what works best for each individual. Some people seriously need meat. It's just questioning of, you know, the question really arises, what works best within your body systems at this given moment in time to help suit your purpose and help you lead a fulfilling life? And that's really what holistic nutrition is all about. And as a yoga teacher, I'm a real big proponent in finding either, you know, it doesn't actually have to be yoga, but if you can find a practice that resonates with you, and in your case, Allison, you know, the walking is meditation or the biking is meditation, it works for you. That's fantastic. And that's all anybody, I think, really really could ever try to manifest into their lives. I mean, we also have a nation as a general rule, and I'd be very curious as to what you would have to say about this, but we have a nation that, you know, has been just expanding at the waistline. We have so many people who at younger and younger ages are developing type 2 diabetes, and so it's just mandatory that everybody gets some form of physical exercise daily. And I'm talking a consistent amount where you're actively walking, not doing something else, but either moving your body and upping your cardiovascular rate, or doing some form of stretching or some sort of lifting, that sort of a thing, in order to move your body and get it going. But yeah, I'd like very much to have your feedback on why that's happening. You know, with being connected to rocks as much as you are, and our bodies being so physical, I'm very interested in your take on how we can end up shifting the progression of the growth of the greatest, you know, of our you know, our waistline.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, a lot of it is energy. It's interesting because I teach Reiki, and one of the first prerequisites is called chakra balancing or cleansing with rock crawl. And I can see someone, and where they hold their weight is really what's going on with their chakra system. And you know, some people hold it in their waist, some in their hips, some in their face, and I think a lot of it. Yeah, first of all, I don't want to poo-poo it because I use technology too, but a lot of the children, they just don't get the same exercise as we do, and you know what we did growing up in Bucks County. I mean, they're just sitting there in front of the television or on the text, and I think that's a lot of it, plus the electromagnetic smog they're exposed to, and it stops the movement of chi and of energy. And, you know, the connection to Mother Earth, I mean, this is just my little slice of information. We all need to be connected. We're of the Earth. We're from the Earth. We're Earthlings, last time I checked, right? And if people can learn how to connect to Mother Earth in their own unique way, and that's what I teach people with the stones. You know, I have people come in and choose different stones, and it tells me where what they need to work on, where and how. And that's what I do. I keep my classes small. I dial into each individual, and I watch the magic unfold as they make that connection. And it's extremely interesting because as I teach the Reiki classes, a lot of people end up melting off 20, 30 pounds. Okay, if I market it as a weight loss tool, I would probably make a fortune. Okay. But what Reiki does is it changes, and you know, Reiki in general is great. The type of Reiki I teach is more from the United Kingdom. It's from the UK. It's European, and it really focuses on the connection to the earth and the earth chakra. And I believe that by doing that, we can dump a lot of the excess unwanted energy instead of allowing it to get caught up in our auric field. And it drains into the earth, and it makes us want to move more. It adds passion, you know. A lot of people, you know, who do have that weight problem, obviously, you know, it's nutrition and what we're feeding this country. And I won't even get into that, but there's plenty of people who do that and do that better than I as far as educating.
Well,
you know,
that's one of the things that I do. It's my area of interest and expertise. It's helping people to lose weight. But I would imagine that, you know, and it's something that I really like about the program I teach. There's the flexibility within it that allows for the adaptation based on what each person needs. So incorporating what you would know about Reiki to whatever it is that I'm teaching people about how to eat healthy, that's a good thing, you know. You can't just do one without something else. Everything else in the life has to shift,
And, you know, it's not about denying yourself. And it's not, I mean, obviously you know that. It's a lifestyle change. You know, I hate the word diet.
Diet's a four-letter word in my book.
Yes, exactly, because automatically it's a punishment, and it's a, it carries a very punitive energy, and it's why don't you fold this into your daily intake and see how much better you feel. And so a lot of it is a shift of perspective. And listen, you know, I have my green drink every morning, and, you know, 10 years ago I would have been like, bah. Now I'm like, I need this nutrition so I can go on my bike ride. And, you know, I go on my bike ride, and I know the trees, and I know every squirrel and the lake, and it's just a way of me communing with nature. And I found through the Rockwell Sacred Stone School that part of the thrill and the joy and the reward of what I do is watching people make their own connection to that. And with Reiki, what Reiki does is it fortifies the physical body to hold a higher spiritual frequency. And it's just like if you take a glass and you pour boiling hot water into it, what happens? It cracks eventually, correct?
It's going to crack the glass, sure.
Exactly. And as we raise our frequency, see, as human beings, through the shift, through the consciousness, our spirit does, our energy does get hotter. I mean, you clearly know that from the work that you do. And so, what we need to do is, what type of container holds hot water the best? Something of ceramic, which is made of clay, which is made of earth, you see? And so what do? They don't, you know, when they make a glass, they liquefy it, pour it into a mold, and it cools, so it can hold cold water. But when they, you know, and I remember in Buckingham Friends, I took ceramics, and I was thrilled. The first thing I made was a cup, and we put it in the kiln, and it was fired. And then, you know, I think I still have that somewhere today, that mug, and it held hot water.
Did you have pottery wheels there, or did you do slab building?
We did both. We did.
So did we. I love my ceramics class. This is so eerie. You and I have so many similarities.
Yeah, and you put your hands in the earth and you created the clay.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I love messing with clay. It's one of my favorite things to do.
It is. And it's
all
the earth,
so cool.
And we're actually made of the earth. And so, after we fired up this ceramic container, we poured boiling water in it, and it held that. And so what Reiki, or at least the type I teach, I can't speak for everyone, there's so many different types of it out there, it fortifies. It turns you into from the glass into the ceramic cup, so your body can channel and hold a higher frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, how do you do readings at expos all weekend? Or how do you teach a class for 4 days? And it's because I channel that energy and it invigorates me instead of drains me. But it leads me to the other question that you would ask is, what advice do I have for people wanting to enter into this arena on a professional basis?
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, I would say, make sure you get the proper training. Get a good teacher, or get many good teachers. And I've had the good fortune of having really good teachers, really great teachers, and really yucky teachers. And I've learned as much from, like, what about not to do as to what to do.
If
they're going to go forth on a professional level, make sure you get the proper training. And, again, that's all unique into the person. But for me, the way I like to teach my classes is in small groups, 10 to 15 people. I do semi-private sessions with about 3 or 4 people as well, and to really know your stuff. I see a lot of people going out there and they're getting certified in hypnosis and angel reading and past reading and Reiki and this and crystal healing, and they're kind of, jack of all trades but master of none, and to really find your passion and to focus on it. And granted, the Rock Girl Sacred Stone School has been 20-some years in the making, and I started out with the Master Stone program, and then I started the Reiki. But these are all things that I have studied in depth for my own personal growth and spiritual transformation first. And I certainly, I am not a yoga guru. I am not a nutrition guru. But I can tell people, listen, I'm at a point now where I know enough people. I'll tell you what I do know. And I'll tell you what I don't. And if I don't know it, I'll do my best to help you find someone who's an expert in it. So do get excellent training. And, of course, experience. There's so many people that go to great teachers out there and all of a sudden just launch out into this arena with pros who've been doing it for 20 and 30 years, and they don't have the experience. I mean, let's name some of the great mediums. John Holland, Lisa Williams, Michelle Whitedove, John Edwards. These people will always have a leg up on people because they have the magic E word, not only talent but experience.
Right. Yeah. And I think that actually can end up playing just as great a role in the capabilities as it can in the experience. It's just so critically important to be able to know exactly how to handle a situation.
Absolutely. And And for
Go
the
ahead.
People out there who are very good at what they do, I mean, I see people taking training. I went to John Holland's workshop, I think it was 3 or 4 days last year, and man is an amazing medium, and it was an honor to be in the same room as him. And he said he still takes classes from other people,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the ongoing training, it keeps you in check. It keeps you humble.
Yeah, and it's mandatory. I really think that, continuing education is critical no matter what field you're in.
Mm-hmm.
In a specialized field which requires, a background that, just to keep you brushed up on your skill set. I mean, I teach nutrition for my yoga teacher when he teaches yoga teachers how to teach classes. And so he's got a 200-hour training, and I had him on my show a couple of weeks ago for an interview. And he's great. He's developing his 500-hour class, and he specifically wants me to teach the nutrition portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I gulped and said yes, and, I don't really have a problem doing it. It's just that I have to format what I need to do and make sure that my knowledge is firm and solid so that I can best impart that knowledge to other people. And it's a very specialized style of nutrition, too, because yoga nutrition is not what you typically see in the food guide pyramid.
Yes, absolutely.
And yeah, and so, that also goes right alongside of it. Even in Ayurvedic philosophy, chocolate has a place. But, once again, it's in moderation and it's in a specific place. So, yeah, it should be a food group, though.
Yeah. I'm with you, yes. And it does come from the earth, so you can't go wrong there either.
Absolutely not. If it comes out of the ground, it's going to be healthier for you than if it came out of a lab. I mean, actually a little blurb with, I think it was Dr. Oz and this adorable little teenage girl who was protesting against this food additive that had been put into soda, and she has been asking a lot of soda manufacturers to take it out because it has bromine in it, and I think the breakdown of this compound was some sweetener or something. It's a flavor enhancer, but all it is more artificial, as I call it. And it's like, you know, you stick something like that into your food supply and into your diet. It's just not a healthy choice. And
yeah,
so,
it's hard to get it out of your body once it's absorbed.
Right. It's very difficult to get it removed. And, yeah, you can definitely balance out chakras to get your body to throw off that excess weight and everything like that, but you have to do the necessary steps in order to detox it out. And
well, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely.
Yeah. So
because you have to, you know, really, it's fuel. What you put in, you know, it determines how your body runs.
Exactly.
And, you know what, it's not just a week-long diet. It's a lifestyle.
No. Exactly. It is a lifestyle. It's what you choose to do on a day-to-day basis that makes the difference in how you function. So we have just a few minutes left, and I'm going to ask if anybody out there who is listening would like to either message Amanda, my intrepid producer, who is wonderful, or you could also call into the show. The number is 347-237-5339 if you have questions for us today. The number again is 347-237-5339. I would seriously love to hear from you. And if you would like to ask one question of Allison, that would be awesome. Allison, is that okay? We don't have
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, let me throw out there that I'm doing, speaking of Pennsylvania and Soulberry, I'm doing a Return to Roots tour in April, April 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th, and I'll be in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. And on one night I'm doing a two-hour lecture on Lemurian seed crystals. Then I'm doing readings all day on Friday, and then I'm doing an intro to rocks workshop on Saturday, and then readings again on Sunday. And so if anybody's in the area, it's the first time I've been back there in years, so all the information's on my website. And then I'm also taking a group of people to Bimini, Bahamas to swim with the dolphins and work and attune to the Lemurian seed crystals in July. And so those are two really fun things, that are coming up.
Yeah, it's like I see all these amazing opportunities to do different really cool events, and it's like so many events in so little time.
Yes, exactly.
Go with you. Yeah, exactly. So anyhow, if we do have any callers come in, my producer would like to let people know that if you call 347-237-5339, please make sure you, once you're into the system, you press number one so that you're in the queue for an opportunity to talk to Allison or an opportunity to talk to me, which I would seriously love to have. Please do call in. So, you know what I will do is, Allison, I'm going to ask you a question to sort of start things off so that people can get a feel for this. My favorite gemstone was one that I found. You're going to love this. 611, I was at a little tiny hole in the wall called Henry's Rock and Gem Shop, right north of Philadelphia, and I found this beautiful tanzanite ring. Okay.
Ooh.
And I still have, I don't wear it daily anymore because the stone itself is so soft. But tanzanite has to be hands down one of my favorite stones. What can you tell me how that, you know, what does that say about me, or is there anything that tanzanite itself?
Is it pink or purple? Or
it's
bluish?
Like a purpley blue with a shot of pink, right? It's sort of a blue purple with a shot of pink right in the center.
Excellent. First and foremost, tanzanite is what I like to call as an activator stone. There's healing stones, soothing stones, grounding, so forth. This is an activator where it's like taking a lighter, and when you click it, it activates the flame, and it's an activator, and it can activate the center of the heart chakra. The heart chakra is actually pink on the inside, green on the outside, like a watermelon, and the spirituality is held within the physical realm, and our bodies are fashioned after our heart chakra. And so what it does is it activates the center spirituality to raise your frequency to connect to the divine, as well as, at the very same time, the purple tones, the purplish blue, activates the third eye. And so obviously, you know, it's a third eye activator. It's a spiritual heart chakra activator. I wouldn't, you know, clearly it connects your heart chakra to your psychic abilities, and it really melds the intuition with that spirituality. And so I don't even have to ask. You do have a keen sense of intuition, yes?
Yeah, you could say that.
yeah. And obviously with the best intention. It's interesting,
oh, yeah.
You know, I just did a show about stones and where to wear them and jewelry and things like that. And this is a ring for you. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, I wear it normally on my right ring finger.
Okay. Are you comfortable with it on your ring, on the ring finger, or do you feel it needs to go somewhere else?
No, I actually like it there. I have a hard time finding rings that actually fit because I have really small hands,
mm-hmm.
and so most rings are usually humongous on me.
Mm-hmm.
So if I find a stone or a ring of any kind that actually fits and I really like the stone, I'll get it. But I don't normally acquire a lot of jewelry just because I'm really particular about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, now the right hand for you is your dominant hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's about outgoing, and it's about, you know, sending out energy through the action-oriented, you know, energetic modality as opposed to the receiving, which is you clearly, literally touch a lot of hearts with what you do. What you can do is you can start working with that stone, with amethyst and other, you know, high-frequency stones in order to kind of hone and fine-tune your intuition as well and really develop your psychic abilities, because you have to have a really strong intuition to connect to spirit and then bring in the psychic abilities. And I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere down the road, have you developed your psychic abilities yet, or haven't you kind of gone down that road?
I'm still emerging with them, but
yeah,
because
they're showing you that.
Yeah,
and you can actually utilize them to bring a lot of healing, not only into your life but into others.
I've been doing a little bit of work with that, and I am an intuitive healer. I've known about that since I was in my 20s, but I didn't really know who I should talk to about that in order to develop it. So it wasn't until pretty recently that I started to do some work in order to bring that more to the forefront, and I'm really enjoying I'm just enjoying the journey. It's really cool.
Yeah, and I love this journey because it's about personal growth and spiritual transformation, and then you can hone those skills and you can go on to help other people as well. But it's also a helper stone. You know, you have to bring yourself to that frequency first, and then you can go out and help other people. The pink part of it really fosters a lot of goodwill in reaching and touching other people's that center of their heart chakra. And a lot of people don't allow that because they don't feel safe. But when you're vibrating on that frequency, they'll automatically embrace you. But I don't need to tell you that because you've already done that, correct?
No, already, my heart chakra is there. I can feel it. It's especially prevalent whenever I'm in my yoga class.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And it's interesting because I just sort of get a sense that I'm reaching even deeper than I ever have before with teaching yoga to the students that I have right now. So if there are people who are listening in St. Louis, you're more than welcome to come and join my yoga class. And if you come up to the front desk in Florissant Folds and you say that Claudia specifically invited you in, they will probably let you into the room. And if they don't, all they have to do is come and talk to me.
Okay.
Yeah, and if you're ever in St. Louis, you must come and come to my yoga class.
Oh, I would love to.
Yeah, and I would love to have you there. It's a class that's great. It's suitable for anybody, so it doesn't really matter how.
Sounds like my type of yoga, because I'm kind of a think outside the box kind of girl.
Oh yeah. Well, I will progress you if I think you need to progress, and I'll teach you. Remedial poses if I think that you need to sort of modify a little bit. But, my class this morning was really interesting. I had a girl in there who has a ballet background, full split, front to back and out, you know, straddle split. And then I had a woman who was brand spanking new, over the age of 60, and wasn't sure if she could do everything. And she did just fine. So it worked out really, really well.
Wow. Sounds like my kind of yoga class.
Yeah. So I would absolutely love to have you there. Amanda, do we have anybody who has called in? Nobody has called in. Nobody wants to call in and talk to. Nobody wants to. Yeah, I definitely will. So if you would like to give out your information, I would really like to have other people know exactly who you are and how to get a hold of you, if you don't mind, Allison.
Sure. Let's see.
Go right ahead.
Okay. The main website is therockgirl.com. And my school is sacredstoneschool.com, and I recently posted all the classes and workshops for this spring and early summer. So that's the best place to reach me is just go on the websites, and there's a contact button, and it can shoot us an email. My assistant's name is Marla, M-A-R-L-A, and she goes through all the mail and forwards me my stuff and gets rid of the spam. And she also books appointments for readings and for classes. People can also friend me and find me on Facebook. There's a link to the fan page on both of my websites, but also they can find me. I think my Facebook is Allison Hayes / The Rock Girl. So either way, and I always have updates on there and all sorts of stuff. So I didn't know that this was a call-in show, or I would have posted the call-in number because a lot of people would have wanted to call in, but I was kind of late.
It's okay. It's perfectly fine.
Yeah. So that's the deal there. But I'm sorry, I should have posted that.
Okay.
And let's see. I also do the Rock Girl Sacred Stone Show every Tuesday, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, where I take calls about rocks. And then on CBS Radio, the first Tuesday every month, where I have interesting guests and I do psychic readings. So I can be found in Asheville, North Carolina, in the Rock Room South, or in New York City on 44th and 10th, to be exact, in the Rock Room North. I'll be in Pennsylvania in April, and I'll be in the Bahamas in July. And after that, I have no idea where I'll be.
I think that that's a pretty good lineup for the next few months. And if you do actually know exactly where you're going to be up until December, life has this wonderful habit of changing plans on you, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't really make them. I usually book classes about 6 months out because students need to make arrangements. But other than that, I kind of just wake up and go for a new ride every day. I have to say, it's been fun.
Yeah. It has been such an absolute pleasure having you on my show and also finding out that you and I actually have specific childhood connections, too. I think that's amazing.
Well, it seems appropriate, doesn't it? The way the world works
with
all the synchronicity. So, you know.
Yeah.
And if you're ever in Asheville, do come by for a visit. Come see the warehouse. Come see the Crystal Garden. Come see the Rock
Room
South.
Oh, I would love to.
There's lots of fun things
to play. Amanda and I are probably going to be in Greensboro in August of this year, so we'll definitely make a point of connecting with you before then.
Oh, that would be fun. Yay.
Yes, that would be awesome. Yeah, absolutely. So, I hope that you'll come back and fill me in on all your upcoming events in the near future, and it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for coming on. It was a pleasure getting to know you, Allison.
Oh, you as well. Thank you so much. And thanks to Amanda for her production prowess.
Oh, she's awesome. She is my intrepid producer. Yeah, you should seriously consider coming and doing some sort of an event in St. Louis. We're trying to get some more people here who are, you know, the psychic and the intuitive community. And it would be so great if you were to come in here at some point.
Oh, I would love to. I would love to.
Great. So what we'll probably have to do is put some postings up about who we'd like to have come and see if there's some interest in what we could end up doing, and we'll work out the details in the near future and then let everybody know on in our listening audience. It was so great having you here, and for everybody else, I'd like to thank you so much for coming on and listening to our show today. It is always a pleasure being here with you for an hour on my Wednesday afternoons. And I look forward to seeing you next week on Namaste Nutrition on www.blogtalkradio.com/GGM. Namaste.
You know the bed feels warmer sleeping here alone.
me, but to see what doesn't kill you.